We're going to turn to Galatians 1, 1 through 9. And we're going to be talking a lot about the gospel today. Just start off with reading Galatians 1 through 9. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which were with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for all our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil world according to the will of God our Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that call you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are and all that you've done for us. And please help that you just be with us now as we look through your word and try to study it and learn from it and be able to use it in our everyday lives. In Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. So, in this particular scripture, we have Paul. He's just writing a letter, and he wants to, at the first part of it, he's very much wants to show respect to God. This is the God I follow. This is the God we're all going to follow. This is their common bond with the person they're writing over there, with Galatia. So he's writing them. So he's stressing that this is going to be an important letter and that we should listen. And then we're going to talk about the gospel in the second half of this. So
If someone had talked about you at some point, would you ever say something about it? Someone talked about you behind your back.
I like to say behind your back is actually in front of you because behind your back is on this side. But so if someone talked about you behind your back, would you actually go up to someone and say something? What if they had talked about someone close to you? Would you say something? I think any guy in here will have no problem defending their mother. If you talk about their mom, that those are fighting words. If you talk about, for any of the women in here, you talk about their children, those are fighting words if you say something bad. So would we get offended if something talked about our God in the wrong way? Would that offend us, or would we just brush it off? These are just things to think about as we're going through this scripture. Especially if it wasn't true stuff of talking about like your mom or your children or your friend. I had Kenna saw Brooke here today, and Brooke likes to hit me. As it's, you know, that's the way she shows me love. She'll come and punch me in the arm and stuff like that. And Kenna says, "Hey, Daddy, can I beat up Brooke today?" And but kind of want to defend me because she loves me. So, you know, is that something we would do? And I think Brooke can take Kenna just on a guess. So would you tell, so if it wasn't true, would you tell somebody something else if something great happened to you or someone that was close to you? So if one of your friends just got engaged, would you tell people about it? Who would you tell? If one of your friends had a kid, you know, who would you tell? What would you talk about? Would that be even important to you? So if you would tell people about things simple as that, would you be willing to tell people the gospel? You know,
we're all here today. Obviously, this is important to us. God is important to us, so we're here. And is it easy for us to talk about the gospel? I know sometimes for me it's not, and other times it's really easy. And like when we're dressed up and we're coming from Dunkin' Donuts before church, and like it's easy to talk about church on the way to church. You know, it's not so easy when we're going to a restaurant and there's loud music and they said you want to sit in the bar or the other thing, and you just want to hurry up and sit down, so you're sitting in the bar area, and then now you're trying to witness in the bar area. Is that as easy to talk about God there? You know, it's something simple, not that there's anything wrong with that, but that's up to you guys to decide. But, you know, what would you do? What is the real gospel? We talk about this good news, the gospel. We hear the word gospel a lot, gospel, gospel. The gospel is where it says in 1 Corinthians 15, 2 through 5, and if you ask the Sunday schoolers, like the little ones, most of them know this. Mr. Forrest has brought this scripture up several times to the young ones so that they know what the good, and it's died, buried, and he rose again. We're going to turn there, and we were there this morning in 1 Corinthians 15. We were already there. We'll just read it real quick. 1 Corinthians 15, 2 through it's just 4. By which also you are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, then he was buried, and then he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel, right there. Died, buried, and rose again. So Paul, he's an apostle. We're going to start in verse 1. We'll just work our way through it real quick. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. He wants to make it known he wasn't appointed by men. This is like his calling. This is what he's supposed to be doing. And he in no way, shape, or form wants to show that he is following men, but he's following the one true God. So he uses the Lord's full name, by Jesus Christ, God the Father. And Paul was a leader. He didn't let little things, even before he became to know the Lord, he would go around and he persecuted Christians. So So he's going around persecuting Christians, and he was like egging it on. He was, in that time, he was a leader. Then he got, you know, blind, they changed his name, and he still was a leader in the complete opposite direction. But, so Paul, he was a natural born leader. And it's because his eyes were up, looking at God. He knew God was the one true God. A lot of times, like, there's this person at work that he tells me he's an atheist. I forget his name. But he tells me he's an atheist. And so I said, you know, what is it that you do? He was interested in me because he knew I was a church guy. And he's like, well, you're religious. And I said, well, I have faith and I believe in God. I wouldn't go as far as saying I'm religious. And he goes, that doesn't make sense to me. So we talked about that. I got a little conversation going. And his whole purpose of him studying the Bible and all these other stuff is to prove God wrong. So I asked him, I'm like, just curious, if you don't believe in God, why is it that you feel so strongly to oppose God if you don't believe in him? And he was like, you know what, I don't even know why. So he spends all this time reading and studying to prove God wrong. But he, realistically, I think he just believes in God, but he can't figure it out other than the fact that it's just faith. And it takes just a little faith, but it takes faith. The
Paul, too, here, the way he says it, I'm an apostle, he's trying not to take any credit for anything. He said, you know, he's Paul, an apostle, men, neither by man but of Jesus. You know, I'm sending this letter. Some of these things are tough in here, and I don't want to think that I'm better than you sending this letter. This is coming directly from God. So, in the last part of it, who raised him from the dead, recognizing that God has power and how great God is. Jesus, here's a fun fact just about gods on this earth in general. People worship all these different gods. God is our God is the only God that is alive. Out of all of the random gods that are out there, like there's people will worship random gods that are living now, but at one time they had to be born, and at some other time they're going to die. Our God is the only God that always was and always will be. So, and but you need faith to have that. So Jesus is the only God that's living God. And we could talk to him now. Verse 2, and all the brethren which are with me and unto the churches of Galatia. He's talking to the church of Galatia. He wants to know who it's specific for. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus. Grace. That may be a little word, but it's a big word. You know, because of grace, we have so much. We all have sinned and fallen short. You know, we've all done something wrong at some point. Maybe, you know, not me, not so much as others, but just making sure you guys are awake. So we've all sinned and fall short, but the word grace, it forgives so much. The word grace, it's us getting something that we don't deserve. Has that ever happened to you? Gotten something that you didn't deserve? My kids ask me, hey, Daddy, can we go to Dairy Queen? Let me think about it. Nope. You hit your sister, you pulled your sister's hair, and you stole your sister's toy. So there's not a chance. So then, you know, I may have had a really good day at work. So that all happened and the next day. But hey, guess what? Daddy wants ice cream. We're all getting ice cream. So, you know, sometimes there's grace. Ephesians 2:5, even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace we are saved. So he saves us through kindness and love God shows towards men. He doesn't have to. Like, he didn't have to send his son. He came from heaven to earth. You know, I don't know if anyone's, like, ever been through the mansions in Rhode Island or anything like that. You've been in these big, giant houses. You know, imagine just living there for a couple months and how great that would be. You have all this room. You guys could drive a little golf cart, like get to go to the kitchen. You drive a golf cart to there, drive a little golf cart back to the family room, watch some TV. And then all of a sudden, they're like, hey, we need you to do something for some people, and you're going to have to go live in the shed instead of the house. And you don't get any food, really. It's just, you know, instead of like the abundance of food in the table, you're going to have to work for everything. You're going to have to work for a job, and you're going to live in the shed, and you're going to help people that don't deserve it, that don't like you. I mean, that's just a little example of how Jesus, you know, came from heaven and came down to us. He didn't have to, but he did, and this was the way to save us, by living the pure life. And he was tempted, and he was a carpenter. So me being a carpenter, and I always ask the question, and a lot of people will say, hey, you're a carpenter because Jesus was a carpenter. And I always wondered if Jesus ever messed up a cut. You know, were people calling him for advice on, you know, what to do and how to treat their mom and to build a set of shelves? Like, did that happen ever? But it's just, so he lived here, and he was with us, And he probably fell down and he got cuts and all that stuff probably happened to him because he was 100% human. You know, Jesus came to save the earth, to save us by grace. Grace be to you. Verse 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus. Paul, once again, is just showing that common bond. We all are looking at the same God. Verse 4, who gave himself for our sins so that he might deliver us from this present and evil world. You know, we have to live in this world, and it's almost impossible to not live in this world. Like, we need money for food. Not all the time, but sometimes you get it for free, whatever. But we need jobs. We need to get around. We need clothes. And it's evil. You know, so the Lord wants us to be a light in this world and spread the gospel. So in 1 Corinthians 15, and we if you read through the whole chapter, chapter 1 Corinthians 15, it shows a lot of practicality in how to deal and be a good Christian in this world. But deliver, verse 3, for I deliver unto you first of all that I also received how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture and was buried and rose again the third day, and that was seen of Cephas, then the 12. So he died, buried, rose again, and now it was seen. So then we know it's real. Are we willing to, is this good news to us? Are we going to be able to spread this around and talk about this? We talk about Easter, and I know the world recognizes Easter. And I heard a new phrase, well, it's Easter Monday tomorrow. And I never heard that one before. We were trying to get it off of work, I guess. It's Easter Monday. But what is Easter to us? And ever think about that? What is Easter? Is it about the bunnies and the eggs? I do love the Cadbury bunny eggs, but that's, you know, is it, we used to say, especially when you're old building, I think that's when it started, when we were at the boys club, we used to say Happy Resurrection Day. I think, pretty sure that's when here we started saying that a lot. Excuse me. With it being Easter and Easter Monday tomorrow, is that like, you know, is it easier to spread the gospel in these couple of days with Good Friday? And a lot of people ask me, what does Good Friday mean? Why are you working? And I said, well, if your Savior died today, would you want to remember it? And that was my answer for every person to ask me why I worked on Good Friday. And I didn't want to say that to some of the people, but it opened up a couple of doors to talk about it. My daughter asked me what Good Friday was, and it was Cheyenne, and she asked me what it was, and so I explained it. She goes, why do they call it Good Friday? Shouldn't it be Bad Friday? And but it was cute. Out of the mouth of babes, you'll see the innocence, and, you know, we explained why it was good, because he rose. If he didn't die, we wouldn't have been saved. But four. He gave himself for our sin, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God the Father. To whom be the glory and forever. Amen. You know, Paul is just trying to give glory, not to himself, but to God. Why would you ever leave something great? Or would you ever leave something that was wonderful? Have we ever tried to get out of something because we knew there was like some responsibility to it?
like in my business type things, there we have to, I like build projects and things for people, and a friend of mine will not do a big job because he's afraid of the responsibility that comes behind it. So he won't go and do someone's full kitchen, but he'll change a cabinet. And he always say, I wish I could do the whole kitchen, but I don't want the responsibility of it falling apart later. You know, our responsibility of being a Christian or believing in God is a good one. It's a good responsibility. We shouldn't be afraid to always be able to proclaim the Lord. So if we go out, and we shouldn't ever put ourselves in a position we shouldn't put ourselves in a position that is hard to witness. So I marvel that ye soon remove from him that called you and into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So we have this great thing, the gospel, and our Lord. And Paul sees that they are soon removing from this, I called you unto grace. And all of a sudden they're like backing out. They're like getting out of line for church, where, because it's convenient sometimes. You know, sometimes, I know if you ever miss a week of church, and like I miss a few weeks of church, I got a massive amount of work done on a Sunday. And I found myself saying, you know, if I had next Sunday off too, I'd be ahead of the game. And that's just, once you miss one time, it's easy to miss a second time. And then you miss the third time. And then you're like, well, God still is going to love me, right? But if you love something, you're going to want to pursue that. So, yeah, he'll love you, but you still need to pursue what you love. So take that responsibility, and you don't leave what's good. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Who can save us? You know, there's no man that could save us, right? There was only one man, and that was Jesus. So by grace we are saved through faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we hear this gospel. We hear something that troubles you and pervert the gospel. What do we do with that? I heard a message a couple weeks ago, and it talked about Christians being wusses, and we have to learn to fight back. And the guy came out to the Rocky theme, and he had a robe on. He came out there, and he was doing the punches, and he talked about Rocky and how he had all these people following him up in Philadelphia, and Rocky's, you know, is jumping around. And would we be willing to fight back if someone came at us about it? And in the Bible, I know it says, turn the other cheek. And the preacher said, you know, how many times do we turn the other cheek if he talks about our God and says something bad about our God? How many times do you turn the cheek? And I only saw one time, like in the scripture, where you turn once. But we need to fight back when it's something about our God. And not physically fight back to these people. But be the same that trouble you and pervert the gospel in Christ. Galatians 5, 10, and 12. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded,
But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. I would they be even cut off which trouble you. Now, sometimes these false preachers may not know exactly what they're talking about. So if you talk to me about politics, I don't know anything. Okay? I will talk a good game and act like I know about Hillary and Trump. I don't know anything. So I was talking to my friend Roger over here yesterday about Hillary and Trump. And I had him going for about 25 minutes. I literally know nothing about the campaign. And he couldn't tell, but sometimes you get that with the Bible. So you'll go up to someone who you think knows what they're talking about, and then you'll be talking to them about it. And a lot of people in church will put on that fake front. And we know we call them the Sunday morning Christians, where on Sunday they're one way, outside they're a different way. And so you have this guy that you think, because you see him only on Sunday, and he always seems to have the right answer, or at least appears to look like he has the right answer. So you're asking him, and then you just take his word for it, and then you go out and you tell everybody that that's what he said. So, like, you know, it could be something just small. You know, I was talking to Rich the other day, and he said Jesus had six fingers. You know, like, that's, he did not say that at all, but it's just something. But we, you know, Rich knows his stuff. He's been studying a lot. And now I go around telling everyone he had six fingers. You know, we have to study it for ourselves and learn for ourselves. And then not only that, when we're studying it for ourselves, every person in here came from a different background, a different area, had different things go on in their lives. Everyone has different experiences. Like, we have two HVAC guys, but they do completely different, you know, heating and cooling systems. You know, we have a couple computer guys, but, you know, computers is, I can't do a spreadsheet and Excel, but these guys can do fancy things with programming. So they're going to have a different perspective on something than I am, and so on and so forth. So we take the scriptures, we study it for ourselves, and we all may come up with something different, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's wrong either. So we have to take, so if I think grace, I think of grace and I think of, you know, it's getting something I don't deserve. And then someone may say that in a different way and mean exactly the same thing. So we have to be careful of false teachers, but that's why it's so important to study for yourself. So before I do vote, I will look it up. But I'm not going to take, you know, CNN's word for anything, or Channel 6's news for anything, or anything I see on Facebook on the thing. I will look it up for myself and make what I think is an educated decision on whatever it is. So make sure you study for yourself. Look up what the preacher is preaching. So if I said something wrong today and you don't agree with it, or you saw something different, come and talk to me about it. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean what I said was wrong. It could mean what I said was wrong, but that's a good fellowship. I remember we were talking, we were having good fellowship. I think it was after a function, and we were talking about, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. I mean, how many times have we heard that? We've heard it a lot. Even people that don't go to church, they've heard that story. The of creation and stuff like that. We were having great fellowship, and a brother brought something new, and it was a very simple concept, but it was new. And it just gave me better understanding of how the Lord did it and how graceful he did it in creating the earth. So we got to take our differences, and we work together. As we said before, so I say now and again, if any man preach another gospel unto you, that you may be accursed. So he says this, Paul keeps saying this over and over. If someone preaches the gospel, he's accursed. Like, you got to stop this. You know, Ephesians 3:6. I have in my notes it says read. So it must be a good one. Ephesians 3:6. That the Gentiles should be followers in the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So we should all be partakers. No, beware of the wolves. But learn that gospel. We all have that common bond of Jesus Christ. We had a fellowship with one another. Search the scriptures together. And beware. So, we have Paul writing in a letter. Writing the letter to Galatia. And he is stressing the importance of the gospel. And it's just so fitting. I asked the guy that scheduled me to be the speaker if this passage of scripture lined up to be on Easter on purpose. Because it talks about the gospel, and the gospel has to do with Easter. As we heard this morning, you know, Easter should be is basically the Christian's happy time. Should be our Christmas, basically. You know, Easter is the biggest Christian holiday. And that just happened by divine intervention. The Lord just worked it out that way. Because he works in mysterious ways. So what is the gospel again? Does everybody know what the gospel is? He died, buried, and rose again. What are we supposed to do with the gospel? Why are we here? You know, we take this good news and we just hold it. We heard about the parable of the 10 talents. You know, one guy gets 10 talents, one guy gets 5, one guy gets 1, and then one, you know, the guys invest it, but another guy just buries it in the ground. You know, are we just keeping the gospel to ourselves and not telling anybody about it? I remember when I had when we had Cheyenne, the first kid, I walked around the hospital telling everybody, "Hey, I just had a girl. I just had a girl. She came out with teeth," and she didn't. But I used to tell people that, and but I told everybody that I had a little baby girl. I was so excited. I wore the pin loud and proud. And so can we spread this gospel, the good news? What do we do if someone is teaching a false gospel? So if we hear somebody saying something wrong that's about the gospel, what do we do? You have to use discretion not to cause a physical thing. Sometimes, so you see something happen and we're, you know, at my work, we work in houses, and they're all construction guys, and it's very easy, if there's any type of disagreement, for it to get escalated very quickly, because everyone has, you know, that chip on their shoulder that they're always right, and things like that. So sometimes you have to use discretion on how to deal with it, come at them softly, not just, "You're wrong. You don't do that." So how do you deal with it? That's something that if you're in tune with God, you'll know how to deal with it. There'll be a way to deal with it. What does the word or time of Easter mean to us? Is it anything special? You know, do we look forward to Easter because we see more people? Or is it because this is the day the Lord rose? Is it? We are following the one true God and living God. And if God is with us, who can be against us? You know, I was we were talking about God and like his physical appearance, and like if he had rough hands and, you know, the beard and things like that, and all these pictures that we see of him typically are of calm Jesus. You know, it's always a guy, he's sitting by the table. You know, everyone's sitting on the one side of the table on the Last Supper for photographic reasons. And so he's sitting there, and then he's on the cross, and, you know, he's not fighting back. It's all these calm things. And so a friend of mine says, you know, your God is so calm. You know, how would he would never fight back. And you read in Revelations, I was just reading it this morning, how he comes, if I could find it real quick. Right here, Ephesians 19. Verse 11, just going to read a couple verses. And I saw the heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he sat upon it, and it excuse me, and he called him faithful and true, and in righteousness doth judge and make war. His eyes were as flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. And his name was written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name was, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and that with it should smite the nations, that he shall rule them up, rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fire of the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, that seems like a tough guy. That seems like a, you know, carpenters typically are tough dudes. There's some that are not tough guys, just so you know. But that just seems like a tough guy. He's riding a white horse. He's got a sword in his mouth. You just talk and things happen. He has written on him his name. And, you know, this is my calm king that comes back with chariots of fire and people behind him wearing white because they're not even afraid of getting dirty because he'll just talk and it'll be done. You know, that's our God that we're here for, that we're going to spread the gospel about. So he's calm, but he's the king. So let's just pray and thank God for being our king and for rising. Not even death can conquer him. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are and all that you've done for us. And we just thank you for being our God, for being our king, and for conquering death so that we may live with you eternally. And just thank you for sending your son, for dying on the cross, that he lived a pure life, and I'm sure it wasn't easy, that we may live with you forever. We just thank you for just sending your son and all that you do for us and blessed us with your grace. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.